Hello, everyone, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P, where we talk golf, but with an academic twist. Today, I'm going to take a full swing into why golf etiquette still needs to be discussed. It's an issue almost as old as golf itself, yet somehow we haven't quite mastered it yet. I'll try to explain why maybe we still have some work to do. Class is in session. We've heard many, and I'm sure you have too, of the golf etiquette arguments. And these arguments include everything from pace of play to dress code. I guess I'll save the dress code for another day because the hoodie debate, I think they called it Hoodie Gate on Twitter. The hoodie debate is just too much fun to watch. It's good grief. It's such a fantastic conversation. I guess for the record, no, the hood doesn't bother my swing anyway, but we'll save that for another day. You know, we've all seen that player who jumps ahead of you, maybe even throws trash or something into the rough or doesn't fix a ball mark. And, you know, as a girl from the South, that's just, as we say down here, plain old bad manners. It's just not nice, right? And some of these bad manners can be, you know, we can ignore some of them. I don't know about you, but I can tolerate a few of them. You know, go ahead and jump in front of me because you think I play slow. Well, you can watch me play through here in about two holes. And I can deal with the fact that you didn't call for a tee time and I did. But I have to admit, it breaks my heart to see carts go where they're not supposed to, like ignoring the markers that are close to the green. You just want to run up to them and say, no, it's okay. Just drive right on up there. I'm sure the superintendent won't mind. Yeah, whatever. And there's that player who, you know, always stands over the hole and their shadow covers the hole. And that kind of is distracting. Or maybe the person whose cell phone keeps going off what seems like every 5 minutes. And some other etiquette things, like, you know, one of my favorites personally is the curse word that I can hear literally two or three holes over. That's always a nice addition to the afternoon. And there's nothing as interesting, I guess is the best word, as seeing someone spit on the tee box or something. I don't think this is unique to here where I live, but I hope not. I don't know. But to be honest, some etiquette rules I'm glad to see are gone. And some of those, at least for now, shaking hands or hugging, I'm not a fan of that. Or you know, we can also count not raking the sand. But both of those could be victims of the COVID era. That's certainly possible. And, you know, at some courses, I've worked at some, and of course I've played at many, that marshals can help the etiquette issue. And as you know, they can monitor activities out there and correct as needed, but so many courses do not have this service. And some who do don't really enforce. I've been around every one of them. I bet a lot of you have too. But folks, there is a line. There is a very prominent boundary where there is no more tolerating and no more acceptance and no more ignoring. So let me explain. A few weeks ago, Mom and I were playing our usual round. The course was a bit busier than usual because it was a particularly nice, sunny, somewhat warm winter day. And I was on the back nine. And this particular hole that I was on at the time is parallel to a hole in the front nine, okay? So both of these holes, which are par fives for me anyway, are both fairly long, pretty fairly straight, but they are parallel to each other. Well, I hit my drive, which thank goodness that day was okay. And I got to my next shot, and as I turned around to retrieve my club, this is where I saw probably one of the best examples of a breach of etiquette I have seen in a really, really long time. And there on number three was a person doing number one. I guess that's the best way, most polite way that I could say it. Well, I looked at Mom and I said, is that gentleman, I guess the word, I don't know, that person, is he doing what I think he's doing? And she turned around and gazed over to that third hole and she said, yep, And she said, "He sure is." Yep, she said with confidence, no doubt about it. Well, it's broad daylight, of course, and the course definitely had players all around, and this player chose a tree which is located right off the fairway in plain sight, no less, just right out in the open. One of the most interesting aspects of this event to me was that the bathroom was on the next hole. All he had to do was seriously putt, and the bathroom was right there. Oh yeah, and for the record, this is kind of off the side, but at our course, there is a shelter right there. It's a weather shelter, but there's also bathrooms there. And in that, there is a men's and a women's. And I would say about 75% of the time, the seat is up in the women's. So I assume the gendered signage either needs to be removed, or I need to put up a sign in the women's asking whoever's in there to please put the seat down, right? Okay, so back to the story. It wasn't, I would say, that I was in complete shock. I know this happens a lot on golf courses in all kinds, public and private, but as I was kind of pondering this whole thing, I thought, why did he think this was an acceptable, okay thing to do? Out on a golf course, especially. That's just where we were. That was the environment of the time. So my curiosity got the best of me. And I decided when I got home that day that I would look online to see what I could find on this massive breach of etiquette, in my opinion. Or is it? Is this a big etiquette issue? Well, let me give you some of the posts that I found on a golf forum. Now, by the way, I've changed some of the language to something a little bit more appropriate for a podcast, and I'm willing to actually say, so just so you know. But here are some of the posts that I found on this golf forum who they were discussing this. Is it okay to go to the bathroom out on the course, wherever that is, on a tree or whatever? Okay, here's where some of them. Quote, "Sometimes you have to constantly drink water. A lot of times that leads to having to go to the bathroom before the turn without a stall for a few holes, and it's completely unavoidable." Okay. Here's another one. "I don't do it myself except extreme emergencies. My regular partner does it all the time, but he is discreet, so it doesn't bother me too much." Here's another one. "Sometime when you gotta go, you gotta go. And if the course doesn't have an adequate supply of bathrooms available, well, they aren't helping the situation." I like that because they blame somebody else. Okay, here's another one. "Well, there's a lot of places to go out there on the course." Here's a lovely one. "The older I get, the more trees get watered." Here's one more. "Some courses only have maybe one restroom on each side. Sometimes we have no choice. We just have to find a good tree." Okay, well, guess what? I don't have a choice either. How about that? All right. I also took a look, believe it or not, at some of the academic literature on golf etiquette, and I found several items. I did not find much on the bathroom issue, but it does, what I did find lends itself to our conversation. And what I kept seeing over and over in the literature was the definition of etiquette. And we all probably have our own. But I think it's important to remember this. So, for example, one study said this, quote, "Etiquette is of sociological interest because it is centrally concerned with emotional control and the regularization of social relations. While the content of golf etiquette has changed over time, the overriding principle remains, as stated by the royal and ancient, that consideration should be shown to others on the course at all times." I thought that's pretty good, right? And hey, if the royal and ancient said that all consideration should be shown to others on the course at all times, well, it's just good manners, right? It's just nice. Just be nice. Here's another scholarly take that I found in the literature, the academic literature. Quote, "The rationale for regulating social relations in golf through an etiquette code is that it was to make the game more enjoyable. Advocates justify the heightened consideration of others' feelings by pointing to the game's sensitive and fragile nature, which stems from the intense concentration required to play golf. So in other words, golf is a fragile game, and it's something that you have to really concentrate on. It's a sensitive type of game. And so anything that breaches etiquette, it could be an issue, right, for the other people that are there. Another even said, I think it was in the same article, that etiquette is possibly more important in golf than any other game. And I believe as golfers, a lot of us would probably say that's true. Some may argue against that, but us golfers, I'm pretty sure would generally say that's true. But this brings me to another point. Golf is normally played without a referee or an umpire, that type of thing. So golf is a heavily self-dependent, and it's a game of internalized self-control. And this game relies on the integrity of our actions on others around us. I'm sure a lot of us have seen players, professional players, and just in our own groups or whatever, just kind of lose control a little bit. I've seen it on the LPGA a little bit, and the announcers will say something like, "Oh, so-and-so, that's a little frustration coming out right there," and that person like wham the club on the ground or something like that. So they'll cut away from that really quick. But we've seen it before, and it does impact other people. Here's another golf study, and here's what they actually found. They did a study on etiquette, and one of the results said, quote, "Face-to-face interaction like golf, where groups often play together for hours, creates situations where carrying out impression management is imperative. Dressing properly or keeping emotions under control, being polite to fellow players, for example." So they're saying that, you know, there is an impression management out there. And they went on to say, quote, "In situations where etiquette is breached," and here's a key point, "embarrassment is triggered, and the player in question has to reestablish the impression he or she makes on others by making excuses." Well, that hit me. It's like bingo, bam. There's the thing that really made the difference for me. If one feels embarrassed, for example, by throwing a club, let's say, or he or she feels like, you know, that she needs to make some kind of excuse for that behavior, right? And that excuse could be anything. You know, you can, let's say you did throw the club and you give any excuse, like you had a bad day even before you got to the course, or you putted really badly on the hole before, whatever it was. But if that person does not feel embarrassed at all, or feels as if he or she has breached etiquette by the action, then nothing is lost, and the actions may continue with no social repercussions. Okay, so we've got all this in there with the social ramifications, the embarrassment factor. Okay, so let's go back to the course that day. The player, the gentleman who decided to use the tree as his personal bathroom that day, apparently didn't experience any embarrassment or any social rejection from his action. It was just simply okay in that group anyway, I guess. But, you know, if this had been some kind of emergency, I get it. It would not be a problem. We get the emergency situations, but it wasn't. It obviously wasn't. And even so, the bathroom was within a reasonable distance. It was walkable. They had carts, so it would have been even easier. I mean, at the distance they were at, they could have thrown a golf ball to the bathroom and reached it. It's really not that far. So let's kind of bring this full circle and make a conclusion here. So did this action or this event that happened that day with Mom and I out on the course completely destroy the rest of my round that day? No, it didn't. Was this a tragic event of some kind? Well, not for the tree. Well, maybe for the tree. Maybe for the tree. But no human was harmed, right? But what it does show is that we have some major social acceptance issues. And it seems like there was a lot more happening there as far as etiquette. It's a little more than just the curse word, like I said, from a few holes over. It's a little more than, you know, maybe playing really loud music, which, by the way, is annoying. But I also think, and this is an important point for, in my opinion, is that the etiquette for me as a woman is quite different than him as a man. And I believe that is a deeper issue that we have discussed on this podcast before. But again, there are two standards there. And it does make a difference. And those cultural and sociological and embarrassment factors, as they found in this particular study, show that it runs much deeper, and there still is a divide. And as I said, the etiquette for me as a woman is quite different than it was for him as a man. Okay, class, it looks like our time is up for today. Thank you so much for joining me for these few minutes. Please head over to talkinggolf.com, TalkingGolf.com, for more golf-related podcasts. There's no doubt you'll find a whole lot, several you'll enjoy. Please email me anytime at onthetwithdrp@gmail.com. I hope you are staying safe. I hope you are staying well. I hope you're playing well. Let's remember our golf etiquette when we're out there. And of course, remember, always go for the flag.